Well, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord today. Thank you for joining with us this Sunday morning. And I see signs, stop signs, yield signs, slow signs, speed signs, merge signs, turn signs, caution signs, hazard signs, construction signs, wildlife signs, no exit, and dead end signs. And green check marks over lanes and red X's over others. And lights, signal signs, you know, like green for go. And the mandate of yellow and red for stop. A world full of signs. And not just the traffic kind. Signs serve purpose. Signs aid us. Signs protect us. Signs instruct us. They educate us. Signs support and maintain proper flow. Signs in place to keep things in check. Signs in spaces for all kinds of cases. I mean, imagine a world without signs. Imagine a city without signs. Imagine a community, a neighborhood without signs. You know, you walk into a grand supermarket and you're looking for an item, and you look up and there's no signs speaking to the items in each aisle. Signs. And we know what can happen if we don't mind certain signs. And we know what will happen if we fail to heed certain signs. You know, I'm thankful for signs. Making way in a foreign city, so thankful for signs that help the journey. For the Christian, signs are important. Like the stop sign, the yield sign, the caution and the hazard sign, the wrong way sign, and the one way sign, the do not enter, and the narrow road sign. We be wise to mind the signs. Ever gotten in trouble because you didn't heed a sign? Ever got lost having missed a sign? You see, signs are a gift. Signs save lives. Signs take us, get us to destination. Thank God for the signs. Our Heavenly Father and His signs. Jesus, our Savior, and His signs, and the Holy Ghost directing us, and the ministers of the Lord, and the Holy Book, and fathers and mothers, and those of the faith, signs and ensigns. Noah, if you have your Bibles, Genesis 6, beginning at verse 13. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with the lower, second, and third decks, and behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven, all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, too, of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. A sign given, because a man found grace in the eyes of the Lord, because Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, because he walked with God. And the sign came in audible fashion, the Lord himself speaking to him, a sign, attention, and now invention, and an ark invention. Heed the sign, because there's a rain coming. There's a flood coming. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. And I thought, you know, with all the rain we've been having, we need an ark. Good thing we know a guy. Someone will get that later. Abraham and Lot, Genesis 18, the great outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah. Very grave sin, such wicked places the Lord lets Abraham know the plot. And so the man takes to intercession and prayer for Lot. If there be 50 righteous, Lord, if there be 5 less than the 50, should 40 be found there? Suppose 30. Suppose 20. 10. And the Lord said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way. As soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. A sign given, and a man is interceding. And what we see here is the sign of intercession. And the sign of intercession gains the attention of the Lord. Lot and his family were living in Sodom. And one evening, two angels came to Sodom. And the events play out, and we get to the point in the story when they speak these words to Lot. Have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in this city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place. Because the outcry against them is growing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Genesis 19:14. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. You know, like, hey, what do you call a nun who's sleepwalking? A Roman Catholic. But hear no joke. Your father-in-law has seen and heard a sign. And now he's calling you to attention. Look, he's holding up an exit sign, but you think he's only jesting. Careful. The joke's on you. verses 15 to 22. The morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, can't you see it? A no loitering sign. While he lingered, man, the Lord is kind. The man took hold of his hand and his wife's hand and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind nor stay anywhere in the plain." You know, you got to leave it behind. "Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed," literally swept away. Then Lot said to them, "Please, know, my lords, indeed now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, the city is near enough to flee to, and it's just a little one. Please let me escape there, is it not? A little one, and my soul shall live." And he said to him, "See, I have found favor. I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Escape for your life. Don't look back. Verses 23 to 26, the sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew, that is, he devastated those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him and she became a pillar of salt. Escape for your life. Don't look back. These be part of the same sign, the instructions of the same sign. You know, thank God for signs. The Magi, and someone saying a Christmas message at this time of the year. No, no. No white stuff yet. Matthew 2, 1 to 2. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" Verses 9 to 12, "They departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house," get into the house where Jesus is, "they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." And then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. A star, a sign to lead them, a sign to take them, to carry them, to lead them to Jesus. And they came to where it was all about Jesus. The simplicity and sanctity of the nativity. And they fell down and worshiped him, and they opened their treasures. They presented him gifts. He's so worthy. And after this, being divinely warned, a warning sign, a rerouting, a detour. Thank God for signs. Verses 13 to 15. "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt," you know, like flight to Egypt. Departure time there on the flight sign. And they were there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. And you know the Lord, he calls every son and daughter out of Egypt. Escape route sign. Please leave now sign. The shepherds, Luke 2, 8-12, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I will bring you good tidings of great joy. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger, lying in a feed trough. Feed on Jesus. Feed on Christ. The Lamb of God. The bread of life. This will be the sign to you. Verses 13 to 20, and suddenly there was with the angel a great multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men, that is, toward men of good will. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. A babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. You know, to this day, this sign, Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of God born to save sinners. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. You know that every Christmas, the sign to wake the dead, to rouse the dead, to call sinners to repentance, and saints to remembrance, every Christmas, the sign. Well off to Nineveh, the Ninevites, Jonah 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it. Preach to it? Preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. And he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. How would they receive it? So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. You know, all need saving. Greatest to least. Least to greatest. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. A sign? Fast forward. Matthew 12:38-42. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign." Like Jesus. Show us a sign. "We want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here." No sign. No sign given to it except. So Jonah, the prophet, the preaching, the message, a sign, visible and audible. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. A man in the belly of a whale 3 days and three nights, a sign. The Son of Man, 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, a sign. The people of Nineveh repenting at the preaching of Jonah, a sign. Oh, that a generation would see the sign. Well, you know, sometimes we seek a sign, and this in no way goes against the previous. Gideon. Recall Gideon putting out a fleece. Judges 6:36-40, Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor, and if there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said." And it was so when he arose, early in the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground, the sign of the fleece. And remember when God was readying Gideon's army? "Send these home. There's too many. Lest Israel claim glory for itself." And then God says, "Down to the water. To see who would drink right. The ones who would drink right, a sign. The ones who would drink right, the sign of an army. The sign of divine victory. God's hand upon this group. Drink right." I think of the time when King Hezekiah was sick and near death, and he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, this is what he prayed. He said, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what is good in your sight. And he wept bitterly. 2 Chronicles 32, 24, Hezekiah was sick and near death, and he prayed to the Lord, and he spoke to him. He spoke to him and gave him a sign. Isaiah 38, 4 to 8, the word of the Lord came to Isaiah saying, go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Listen, God hears prayer. God sees tears. He bottles our tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you in this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this is the sign. God gives signs. This is the sign to you from the Lord that the Lord will do this thing which he has spoken. Behold, I'll bring the shadow on the sundial, which has gone down with the sun on the sundial. I'll bring it 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial by which it had gone down. I mean, look at the merciful kindness of our God. Perhaps we receive this day. Any parents in the house? Isaiah 8:18, here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. Maybe you never thought of yourself as a sign. Or your family. And we should seal this day. The voice Bible, you see, I and my children whom the Eternal One gave to me, we personify the promise. We are signs of what God intends and will do in Israel. What amazing things the Eternal Commander of Heavenly Armies has in mind, the one who is indeed present in Zion, this heaven on earth. How about we desire and determine this day, the New Century Version. I am here, and with me are the children the Lord has given me. We are signs and proofs for the people of Israel from the Lord All-Powerful who lives on Mount Zion. And the Message paraphrase, I stand my ground and hope. What a line. What a line. I stand my ground and hope. Sounds like a sign. I and the children God gave me as signs to Israel. Warning signs and hope signs. We need both. Not just all hope signs. Warning signs and hope signs. From God of the angel armies who makes his home in Mount Zion. You know, you can only be a sign if you heed the signs. You can only be a sign, a God sign, if you heed God's signs. Warning signs and hope signs. You can only be a sign if you heed God's signs. Well, we must be aware of the enemy and his emissaries because they utilize signs also. You know, like pop-up signs and deceptive signs, deceiving signs, signs to take us off course, signs to get us going in the wrong direction, signs leading us to danger, leading us to failure, leading us to traps, leading us to death. But I'm so thankful for the fixed signs in the kingdom. And on the journey of faith, and I'm so thankful for the signs that pop up, you know, like holy pop-up signs, the signs that illuminate when there's an emergency alert, external signs, and what about internal signs? You see, some aren't heeding the internal sign, the internal signs that are indeed signs from God, like a halt in the spirit, or a check in the spirit, a wrong way in the spirit. Make a U-turn in the spirit. No turn in the spirit. You know, like, do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. How about a do not park in the spirit? Danger ahead in the spirit. Escape route in the spirit. And don't you love rest area in the spirit? And fuel station in the spirit. Well, what about vital signs? Vital signs. Check the vital signs. The words of Jim Cimbala. Prayer is the source of the Christian life, a Christian lifeline. Otherwise, it is like having a baby in your arms and dressing her up so cute, but she's not breathing. Never mind the frilly clothes, stabilize the child's vital signs. It does no good to talk to someone in a comatose state. That is why the great emphasis on teaching in today's churches is producing such limited results. Teaching is only good where there's life to be channeled. If the listeners are in a spiritual coma, what we are telling them may be fine and orthodox, but spiritual life cannot be taught. Pastors and teachers must get uncomfortable enough to say, we are not New Testament Christians if we don't have a prayer life. This conviction makes us squirm a little. But how else will there be a breakthrough with God? If we truly think about what Acts 2:42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Devoted. That's a word. And to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. We can see that prayer is almost a proof of a church's normalcy. Calling on the name of the Lord is the fourth great hallmark in the list. If my church or your church is not praying, we should not be boasting in our orthodoxy or our Sunday morning attendance figures. My wife and I have told each other more than once that if the spirit of brokenness and calling on God ever slacks off in the Brooklyn Tabernacle, maybe you've heard of it, we will know we are in trouble even if we have 10,000 in attendance. During countless Tuesday night prayer meetings, we have the same. During countless Tuesday night prayer meetings, I find myself encircled by the sacred sounds of prayer and intercession filling the church and overflowing from every heart present. As the meeting edges to a close, I overhear mothers petitioning for wayward children, men asking God to please help them find employment, and others giving thanks for recent answers to prayer. I can't help but think this is as close to heaven as I will ever get in this life. Prayer. And what of praise and worship? And what of Bible reading? And what of devotion to the house of the Lord? Vital signs. Just a sample. And these signs be vital. You know, I'm sure we've all missed signs because we haven't been paying attention. I have stories. Lord, make us more attentive. And yet, is there distraction? Whatever it be, and we are missing signs. And when we do see a sign, asking for one, or God knowing that we need one, let's never ignore the sign. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, Saul, the son of Kish, he's anointed. Anointed by the prophet Samuel, I'm sure we know the story, the anointing of the Lord coming upon his life. Samuel instructs Saul concerning what was going to take place, And now we come to verse 7. 1 Samuel 10, verse 7. And let it be, when these signs come to you, that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. Verse 9, God gave him another heart, literally changed his heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. When signs come to pass. But verse 7, don't miss it. Reading from the NLT, do what must be done. For God is with you. Do what must be done. You know, if I'm on the road, and I'm going the wrong way, and the Lord puts up a U-turn, I should heed the sign. If I'm getting into something, I've turned into something, and there's a stop sign or a red light, and it's the Lord, I should probably stop. Or if the Spirit that is inside, there's a halt in the Spirit. Don't ignore it. Heed the sign. Do what must be done. If we just do what must be done. But we make this so complicated. And then we think it's complicated. Do what must be done. God is with us and God is for us. Who or what can be against us? Let it be, when signs come to us, that we do as the occasion demands. We're wrapping it up. Daniel 4, 1 to 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are his signs and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and his dominion is from generation to generation. You know, these are the words in Nebuchadnezzar, and yet hear these words. Declare the signs that the Most High God has worked for you. Declare them, so too the wonders. Go over them. Declare them to yourself. Remember and remind yourself. Tell others. Testify. Tell your children, one generation to the next. Dominion his from generation to generation. You know, get the signs up. People need signs. Sons and daughters, old and young, and the lost. How great are his signs, life, and godliness. Let's have the worship team return. You know, don't just give attention to and heed the big signs. You know, the really big ones you can't miss. No matter the size of the sign, big, small, anywhere in between, do what must be done. And I read this, the words of Charles Spurgeon. He said, a well-marked Bible is the sign of a well-fed soul. A well-fed soul and a protected and armed soul. For when rogue signs appear, these can see them for what they really are. And thank God, thank the Lord for spiritual discernment. And I see a sign. It's a one-way sign. And there is only one way. Jesus is the one way. Jesus is the only way, one way, Jesus. John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he goes on and he says this, no one. And we're like, not one? Not even one? Well, it's clear. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, I don't know about you, but I've said and I say it again, sign me up for the Jesus life. And now signs lifted, signs of surrender. And there's a follow me sign. And Jesus is saying, follow me. And we begin to follow Jesus down the road, and Jesus is the road, and you know, you got to mind the signs because there are now rules of the road and road signs. And on this narrow road, Jesus the road, Jesus road, and can't you see it? Can't you see that sign? The sign says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promise is to you and to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God calls. You know what? There's a sign in the foyer. Are you interested in water baptism? And you saw the sign today when it was announced. And if you've never followed through, if you've never stepped into the water, there's a sign waiting for you as you leave today, and there's a sign-up sheet. You know that signs can smart. They can hurt. It's about 2 weeks ago. Later at night, I went home, parked in the garage. I had to walk around to the front. There's this for sale sign. It's been up for so long at this house. And then they take it down. I guess it doesn't sell. And then they put it back up. And it just keeps going. You know, and I'm like, for whatever reason, I have no idea, I'm going to punch this sign. You know, thinking it's just this flimsy for sale sign. And I walk up and I full out punch it. And it was metal. My hand, I can still feel it. That'll wake you up. But that house, when's it going to read sold? And then I thought about all the lives like houses with a for sale sign up. Don't you know that Jesus already paid the price? It's time for you to make a decision. It's D-Day. And slap a sold sticker right over that for sale. Falling rocks. Ever seen that sign? Well, falling rocks, like falling in surrender. Ten Commandments. A sign. And so you know what? What part of thou shalt not don't you understand? I wonder if God was looking down. Thou shalt not. What part? I'm trying to bless you. Just trying to love you. Give you a hope and a future. And there's a sign that says Hollywood, not Hollywood. Drowning? Are you drowning today? Need a lifeguard? Ours walks on water. And a sign of the times, a sign of the times, strange signs like, I can't even believe I read this sign. Lord, help this generation, because we're living in strange times. A sign, they actually have to put up a sign, in case of fire, please leave the building before posting it on social media. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy. No trespassing signs? How about beware of dogs? Dead end sign? Yeah, we're all going to die unless Jesus comes back. But that dead end sign? That's not the end. Because then there's a fork. And you go to one or two places. And you know, the more and more I wander around the city and other places, and we know what's going on in our world today. And do you know that the devil has been putting up a lot of no fishing signs? Just think about it. I know it's the Spirit. Place of occupation, no fishing, you'll get fired. Coffee shop, no fishing. Church, they're even trying to put up no fishing signs in church. You know what I'm talking about. But guess what? I see the Lord's sign. I don't see that enemy sign. And God's sign says, fishing permitted. Well, we'd be wise to heed the signs, and God use us that we be signs. Amen. Oh, Lord, we need you. You know, perhaps you're here this day, and you know you haven't been heeding signs, or you've been missing signs, you've been too distracted. Or in the Spirit, it's like you can't even feel it anymore. You don't feel the halt sign. You don't feel the caution sign because you've just been ignoring it for too long. It's time to come back. It's time to come back. And it's time to journey with Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. How beautiful he is. How glorious he is.